I'm John Torpy, producer for Market to Market. Here's our podcast you can only find online. Being a digital friend has benefits.
This is the Friday, July 10, 2020 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Dan Huber and Matthew Bennett through the power of technology, both in the state of Illinois. And Matt Bennett has the mark of being one of the last humans we've had in the studio. That's been a long time, Matt, since we've seen you. How you been?
Very good. I mean, that actually was a precarious time, as you remember. I mean, you know, I was out speaking that week, and things were changing like every 2 minutes. You know, every time I opened my phone, not only was I getting information, but my wife was saying, when are you going to get home? And I said, well, I've got to drive right by Market to Market, so we're going to go ahead and do the show. And I was certainly glad to be there. It was fun to be there. But that's a show that I don't think I'll ever be able to forget, because not only was there a lot of uncertainty, you know, just with everyday life, but obviously with the markets, you know, there was a lot of angst and just general uneasiness about what was to come.
So if you look back to mid-March, then I guess I'm going to start with this. What do you think you got right? What do you think we've maybe not gotten right? And what's the next 3 months hold?
Boy, that's a big question. You know, what did we get right? Well, I think that anytime producers, you know, would hedge a little bit of risk, you know, we had some opportunities over the wintertime. They weren't going to be home runs necessarily, but after the last several years, having multiple opportunities to sell December corn above $4 and beans above $9.50, basis the D's and no, those were good areas, you know, to manage some risk. And so I think we did a really good job of managing some of that risk. You know, where did we miss a little bit? Well, I think a lot of us felt like if we wouldn't have had this issue with the ethanol sector due to coronavirus, that we would have seen some really good cash prices. So that certainly didn't come to pass. We didn't see the basis we thought that we might see. Now, as far as the next 3 months are concerned, you know, the next 3 months, in my opinion, a lot is going to be quantified in the next 10 days because of weather. The weather's going to have just an enormous impact on what we see moving forward. And we talked about this a little bit before we came on the air, but, you know, there's going to be a large, you're going to have to really manage well as far as your insurance situation. If we don't rally back up towards the highs that we saw, if the weather does indeed turn into be corn making weather, you know, and we have enough moisture to get us by, it's going to be a very challenging situation for a producer. But if we do get that rally up there, I think that the producers, if at the very least, at least have to take some risk off the table, set some floors under themselves, and then hope this market gives them a better opportunity than what we're currently seeing.
All right, Dan, I guess if I give that widespread of a question to Matt, I better give you the same one. You weren't here, but you were here close to that. I think it was like the second or third week we went to these remote shows. What do you think has changed the most, maybe different than what Matt sees or what he just said compared to now? What do you think has been the biggest difference?
Well, of course, the elephant in the room is the coronavirus, which, you know, not only has it disrupted everything, I mean, from production to transportation, I mean, supply chains, you name it. It's just one of those unknown factors. I mean, and I think it fits that complete description of being a black swan. It's an event that hits us. Nobody's had to experience it before. You know, how do you come out of it? And of course, you know, to really make it a black swan, you go back and everybody has to second guess on, boy, well, you know, we should have seen this coming type of thing. But regardless, I mean, I think it is so disrupted the rules that we trade by, the rules that we work by, that it's, you know, we're all in that adaptive move here right now. So I still think the same things apply. And exactly what Matt said, you know, for 5 years now, if you could sell beans at $9.50 and you could sell corn above $4 on the December, you did it. I mean, that has been the upper end of our ranges, and good risk management said you had to do that. Now, granted, we haven't had the opportunity to do that now for the last 6 months. And it would be a challenge to say in corn, especially, we have that room to get up there this year. Not impossible, but I mean, we seem to be a long shot here at this point in time.
All right, I suppose we should actually talk about some commodities. We did not talk about cotton, Dan, but that's a market that has kind of chopped along for a while, broke out last week, and it continued the run this week. There are a lot of rain in the Delta. Is this a weather market too, or something else?
Both. It is a weather market, but it's also, you know, we saw less acreage than was anticipated in the cotton market. So I think you have a combination of both. You know, realistically, December cotton now has rallied almost 30% from its spring lows. And again, part of those lows were coronavirus type inspired panic. Everybody wants to get out of everything at that point in time. You know, that said, anytime you have a 30% rally, you've got December cotton back up over 64 cents here. Yeah, you probably need to start looking at rewarding in this range right now. The market, I think, is starting to look just a little bit tired, even with, even we noticed today. I mean, we did have a fairly friendly report, both domestically and on the world stocks. Market didn't really react much. So I'd say it's probably getting a little bit tired of a rally on those same factors.
Matt, we have a question that came to us from Bradley in Upland, Nebraska. You kind of answered part of this one already, so I want to focus on the second part. He's asking about managed money. Well, they disregard the forecast of the heat and during corn pollination. And then I'm going to skip ahead. Or will they roll out of their record short positions as the market trends higher?
You know, typically we see them get back to even during the growing season, but this year's been a different type of year. You know, you're coming in with, you had a really friendly report here in July, and you're still talking 2.6.5, you know, so you're still talking a pretty large carry. And so are the funds going to look at that situation and say, hey, this is a place where we think we need to go net even or even long? I think that's maybe a little bit of a stretch until you get into a discussion where I think you at least have to get to where people are throwing around a $2 billion and below carry. And then maybe you could get the funds to step in and really pounce on something like that. But at this stage of the game, I mean, we remember the funds, they want to buy a story. They want to buy value. Is the corn market a value to some people right now? Yeah, maybe so. But at the same time, I'm like Dan, you really have to work hard, in my opinion, to make a run back up to that $4 level. And, you know, considering we're, you know, 50 cents plus below that right now, yeah, there's probably some room to go up. But I don't know that the funds are interested in, you know, a 20, 30 cent move as well.
Well, how do we get to that market move? I guess I'll let either one of you answer. I mean, there was a question, Matt in Amherst, Wisconsin. This one was kind of a question that I was saving for the end, but he was asking how much wind is left to blow the sails of this rally. So if it's not weather, Dan, what is it?
Well, you'd have to have a number of sequences fall into place, realistically. I mean, weather has to be a part of it. I mean, you've got to put a little bit of fear into those who are holding that short position. And I would say, you know, I don't think they try to gauge the weather. Is it going to be good or bad? I mean, if they get a signal that it's time to turn around, they're going to turn around regardless of what the weather forecast is. But I think the other element that could be out there, and again, we're kind of sick of talking about it. It seems like we've been waiting for a year and a half for the dollar to set back, and it hasn't for a number of various reasons. But I think if you had a combination of China stepping up some export or import business of corn, as we saw some very nice sales made to them this morning, had a weather issue, and then you saw the dollar break, the combination of those type of things could probably lift us a little bit better to the upside than what would seem reasonable with what we know here today.
Matt, you look like you were agreeing with that one. Do you see it the same way, or do you have more to add?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've said all along that people are asking, you know, what do we need to do to go back to the spring insurance price? And I've said, well, you know, this was before the June acreage report. I said, I'd like to see a big reduction in acreage, you know, and then they're shaking their heads. Yeah, I think we can do that. And I say, and I would like to see Chinese purchases, you know, and they're shaking their I said, and, you know, and so, yeah, if the dollar backs off, then, you know, that all of a sudden that starts to change the scope of things. Yeah, I mean, we came in today, you know, and we saw a tweet from President Trump that said phase two is off the table, basically. And I think that definitely had an impact on the market. But at the same time, I guess Dan probably agree with me here. If the Chinese can buy corn cheaper from the U.S. and they hate our guts, they're still going to buy corn from the U.S. I mean, they're traders. That's what they do. And I think that they look for value and they're going to go try to find it. And I happen to think, based upon most of the intelligence that we receive, that China's going to have to be in buying corn. They've been using more corn than they've been producing for several years in a row. You watch these auctions, and they're selling everything at these auctions. I mean, people are gobbling up corn like it's going out of style. And interior corn prices in China are very strong. And so you've got to look at all those things and ask yourself, you know, what are they going to do? And I think that's one big wild card that can give you the opportunity to rally this corn market you know, at a time whenever you're looking around for reasons why it can't rally, that's one big reason why it could.
Okay. Dan, I got to ask you a question here about the oil industry a little bit. And this one comes from Boyce in North Dakota. He's asking, and we had this as one of our stories. It was the Dakota Access Pipeline. With that shutting down, should we expect the basis around there, so he's in Montpelier, to get wider if the elevators have to compete with the oil field for rail service?
Well, if I'm understanding it properly, if you're shutting down the production on the oil and you're not moving it via the pipeline, I guess, yes, that could push some back into the rail system. I mean, you know, but that said, it's, you know, I think you're really kind of struggling to keep that that industry moving along anyway. So, yeah. I mean, yes, it could increase competition if they're moving for more rail cars. But if there's less fracking going on overall, there's also less demand on bringing in silica sand, some of those other kind of products. So I guess I would not look at that necessarily as being a long-term negative on the basis.
Okay, I'm going to ask you both a question. It's kind of a big one, so but be quick on it if you could, as I know I've already gotten long, and Tiffany, who transcribes this, always gets mad at me when I ask these really long questions at the end. Merrill at Price Help is asking me, Dan and Matt, assuming the highs have occurred, what are your plans for remaining old crop, but mainly new crop? Sell across the scale? Do you store? Do you hedge to arrive? Do you look at basis contracts or carry? Matt, what do you do?
It's going to be hard to answer this quickly, but I guess a couple of things come to mind for me. You know, basis contracts have not exactly treated everyone well this time around. That doesn't mean they're not going to moving forward, but I've got to be careful, especially if I don't know production in my area real well yet. You know, what's going to happen for me locally? Well, I think basis actually could provide some opportunity, especially in my part of the world in East, if we don't get the weather. And so I'm not sure I want to do any too much of one thing. Okay, so how am I going to approach new crop sales if the highs are already in? Well, I'll tell you what, I've got to have a really good handle on production. I've got to have a really good handle on how I'm going to manage the relationship between crop insurance and what my cash sales look like. Because if I'm making the assumption that I'm going to be selling 240 bushel corn here in central Illinois, and that's going to be able to help me make the bills, pay the bills, and then I don't have 240, that's a big issue, especially if the market rallies and it limits my insurance payout, if you will. So it's a very complex deal, but I want to spread my risk out, not have too many eggs in one basket. I'm okay with some basis contracts here and there. I'd probably be a little bit more okay with a HTA if we can rally back up closer, at least, above 350 into that 360 area, if we do get enough weather to make me feel good about production.
All right, Dan Huber, same question. Same constraints, too.
Well, okay. I'll be rapid here. You know, the key word there, we're assuming the highs are in. If the highs are in, you sell rallies. And you not only sell futures rallies, you short call options to try to enhance that price a little bit, you know, if you're assuming there's no more risk to the upside. You know, as far as you go basis, do you put in the bin, do you hedge to, I mean, that's all a personal individual farm operation and regional, because, you know, basis here in Illinois may be different than it is in Iowa or Nebraska or South Dakota. So, I mean, you have to gauge that by your own local area. That said, if you have carry in the market, you know, you sell the defer and you try to pick up the basis of storage that way. But again, like I say, if we're assuming the market highs are in, you sell rallies.
Okay. Dan Huber, good to see you. I appreciate your time as always. And Matt Bennett.
Always good.
Good to see you as well.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll talk to you next time. Next week, we will see one exhibitor and how he is overcoming an obstacle in the show ring. And Don Rose will join us to analyze the markets. We'll see what this weather does this next week. I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you so very much for watching, listening, or reading. Have a great week.